Our thanks to Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium, Tampa's first family of Ford, for presenting the Ira Kaufman podcast and for taking such great care of all the Ira Kaufman podcast listeners. General Manager Sean Sullivan is ready to assist you at all times. Personal service. He's got a Joe Bucks fan discount for you. And right now at Bill Curry Ford, they have tremendous specials through the end of this month. No tricks, no Halloween tricks, just great treats and great trucks, up to $14,000 off MSRP on new 2020 Ford F-150s. Get all the details at BillCurryFord.com. That's BillCurryFord.com.
Bruce Arians says Tom Brady had nothing to do with it. Well, he also said that Tom Brady knew that it was fourth down in Chicago. He said to me, "Ira, have you had the Cuban?" I said, "If I had the Cuban, of course I've had the Cuban." He is. He's a zombie. And Steve, may I add one more, and Lee, tell me if you've thought about this, one more subtle wrinkle to this whole saga. Huge scoop of coleslaw. Huge.
You've heard us rave right here on the podcast about Florida's Elite Restoration. They are the Tampa Bay area and beyond, the Tampa Bay area's number one licensed mold remediation specialists. They're not just a mold guy. They are the experts in mold, and that's who you need to call first. Before you call your insurance company, the moment you see a problem, the moment you smell a problem, the moment you think there is a problem, you contact them. They're available at a moment's notice, floridaselite restoration.com. You can get a lot of information right there. Call them, 727-807-1005. They will be out to your home quickly to give you a free estimate as to what's happening and give you guidance on how to handle it. It's serious stuff. And you want to use them for all of your disaster needs because they are disaster specialists in the Bay Area. Florida's Elite Restoration. Ira Kaufman endorses them. He's sent friends there who've been happy. That's who you need to call. Florida's Elite Restoration.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Buccaneers are 5-2. The sage of Tampa Bay sports is all fired up. He is raring to go. He is the king of Pasco County, the baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, Ira Kaufman, Uncle Ira on the Ira Kaufman podcast. What a week it has been, Ira. I have so much to say, and we're so thankful to Bill Curry Ford for presenting this podcast. But what a win in Vegas. Back-to-back absolute thumpings. What did you love about your Buccaneers on Sunday?
Another reason to rejoice for Buck fans. I've been looking at the Gruden interviews post-game. He gushed for 20 minutes about how proud he was of his Raiders. Oh, I'm so proud of these guys. They hung in there against the big, bad Buccaneers. He thought they played their butts off. So in that way, it's another testimonial to what's going on in Tampa. Gruden thought he got all the juice he could out of his football team, and they got thumped. Although it was close, you know, early in the fourth quarter, no question about it. Lee, we went into the season talking about two things. The defense has to get to the middle of the road. Well, they're a lot better than that. Two, they got to keep Brady upright. He's got to stay healthy. It's all happening. The guy was hit once, not sacked, hit once yesterday by the Raiders. Now, look, they don't have the purple people eaters or the doomsday defense. I understand that. But that Max Crosby's a pretty good pass rusher. They couldn't get near Brady. And he's playing at a tremendous level. Lee, he looks like, you know, 2011 Brady right now. I just can't believe what I'm seeing. He's arching some beautiful touch passes, a la Gronkowski and Scotty Miller. He's firing bullets to Tyler Johnson and Godwin. I mean, what more do you want out of this guy? He's scoring himself on the ground. He's making great decisions. And Lee, he's playing at a phenomenal level. I'm shocked. At the age of 43 that he's doing this, he's getting plenty of help, Lee. But yesterday, the ground game didn't do much. Ronald Jones was zero factor, and they put up 45 points, Lee. If you're a Buck fan, Lee, you got to feel you got it all going on right now. You're going to East Rutherford, New Jersey. You're facing a lousy team. Yeah, you could have a letdown with the Saints on the horizon, but I don't think Brady's going to let that happen, Lee. See, here is that extra luster you get from having a Brady. I don't think he's going to let it happen where a different quarterback, it could happen. You hear Brady after a game, Lee, after 38-10. What does he say? Well, we got to do some things better. I mean, he's like a machine. He is. He's a zombie. We don't like it because he's not a good quote machine. But that's the way he's wired, Lee, and I guess that's part of why he's Tom Brady.
And anyway, I'm kind of the belief that unless a player is really talkative, it's mostly cliche city, and it's very little enlightenment.
He's playing great football, Lee.
You mentioned Ronald Jones didn't do anything. They took the ball out of his hands. He was doing okay, and they took the ball out of his hands. And yeah. They replaced him with Fournette. And I put this out on Twitter, and I absolutely 110% stand behind it. When they took Ronald Jones out of the game, he was running okay. They took him out of the game for whatever reason. Then here come the Raiders. They bring it within one score. I put on Twitter, oh boy, this is smelling like a Bears comeback. And to me, it most certainly was. It reminded me just of the Bears. I know the Bucks have a good team, but I'm not used to this yet. I'm used to the Bucks losing. 12 years I've been covering this team. Lose, 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 lose. And they always find ways to lose. They always find ways to choke. They always find ways to stub their toe, fumble, interception. You name it, they've. And I'm not used to this winning. So when I see the Raiders coming back and making a one-score game when the Bucks took the ball out of Ronald Jones' hands and quit running the ball and started passing, I absolutely and totally had flashbacks to the Bucks. And people want to give me hell for that? No.
That's what happens
when you cover the Bucks for 12 years and you're used to losing, like an abused child when he goes home from school, gets beat up by the bullies on his way home, and gets beat up when he goes home for whatever God knows why.
Hey, Ira.
That's
Lee,
the way I am.
Lee, did you get a Twitter response from a Buck executive on your tweet?
Yeah, I don't care. You know, to me, I didn't get you bent out of shape about it because I stand by that. I thought it was the Bears game again. And they made it a one-score game. Was it not a four-point game? And they went away from running game? That was the Bears game.
It's nice to know.
Ira, you know what? Let me sum it up this way. You know what? We're all regular guys when we're sitting around watching football. And just like people sitting in the stands or sitting in a bar or sitting like we were at Big Storm Brewing Company in Clearwater, you watch a football game, you're drinking a beer, and you talk to the guy next to you and you say, ooh, wow, ooh, man, starting to feel like that Raiders, that Bears comeback. Okay? That's what you say in a game. And then 2 minutes later, you say, hell yeah, way to go, Bucks. Oh, they're putting the nail in the coffin. That's watching any sporting event. And you got a bunch of sensitive Sally snowflakes out there on Twitter, including Jason Light, the general manager, who doesn't like that. Oh, and he's retweeting and stuff. Get over yourselves. It's called watching a game and commenting. Twitter is supposed to be, you know, that little box on Twitter says, what's happening? Well, you know what? Right now I'm feeling like it smells like a Bears comeback. If you don't
And nobody's happier than Lee DeKemper that he was wrong. Nobody's happier than Lee DeKemper.
Exactly.
Well, I wasn't wrong. It was reminding me of the Bears game. I think that was my observation. It was not wrong. I'm happy as heck they won.
That's the point, Ira. It's not about right or wrong. It's an observation. You're watching a game, sharing a comment. And you know, Twitter, in that little box, Ira, when you type in, what does it say? It says, what's happening? You know, you're supposed to just share your feelings. So a bunch of these super sensitive people who think it's like some sort of political statement, let me say this. Lee is not the president of the United States. He's watching a football game, making a comment. And just for fun, I retweeted it a minute later and said, it smells like a Bucks victory, other Joe, because I didn't think the Bucks had lost any command, and I thought the Raiders had already shown that they were not a good football
team. Steve, let's get off Twitter and keep our eye on the football, and here's what I see. I see a 5-2 football team going into your beloved Meadowlands, where Clemenza says, leave the gun, take the cannoli, that was in the Meadowlands wilderness over there, the swamps of Jersey. That's where that happened. And that's where the Bucks are going. A bad Giants team. We got every reason in the world to believe that this team is going to be 6-2 at the midpoint of the year after losing week one with a lousy performance and then a one-point loss in Chicago. 6-2 at the break. I said 11-5. It didn't look good after the Chicago game. but here they are. And everything is going according to plan, and let's hope that Mr. Antonio Brown doesn't destroy this plan. But other than that, things are going very, very well for this franchise.
Quick advice for the Giants game. Let's hope, Mr. Arians, you learned from last year that in the first half, whatever you're doing, and if it's working, do not go away from it. Do not.
Ira, a couple of things about this game on Sunday. Sage, Carlton Davis, he left yesterday's game with a chest injury late in the third quarter. Last week, Bruce Arians noted that Davis was doing a much better job playing through pain this year. He was on the injured list last week with a knee injury. Prior to that, he had an abdominal injury that cost him practice time. And I'll combine that with Sean Murphy bunting really hasn't played well this season, especially since he had his own groin injury earlier in the year. He didn't miss time, really, but he just hasn't played very well. And are you concerned at all about the secondary going forward? I know a big win, but they came out of it with an injury, and Murphy bunting didn't really bounce back. What are your thoughts?
Well, I love Davis's toughness, Steve. I love it. He's played very well. I mean, I think if he can keep this up, and it's, you know, a lot of games ahead, but if he can keep at the same level of play, I think he merits some consideration for the Pro Bowl. I think he's been that good. And I'm with you on Murphy bunting. I don't know how Lee feels about him. I kind of feel he's just a guy, Lee. I mean, he makes a couple of splash plays. He happens to be in the right place at the right time. The guy throws him the ball, but I don't see him shadowing receivers the way Davis can or the way Dean can, Lee. I just I don't think he's as good as those two. I guess he does some things better, maybe. But you know, Davis can play through pain, Lee. He's proven it. Is there enough depth at corner? Well, maybe. And, Lee, I think you'd be the first to say, instead of spending money on Antonio Brown, maybe they would be better off plucking off a veteran corner off a ragtag team that's unloading guys. So that's something to consider, Lee. But Murphy bunting, Lee, I don't know if you're a fan of his. I just think he's I think he's kind of ordinary.
He seemed like he was doing well early in the year, and I can't remember when he got hurt, but I think Steve's on to something that last couple games he hasn't been that great. But you know what? I almost – you know, we talked earlier about the Bucs don't need Antonio Brown because they're playing so well. It's almost like talking about Sean Murphy bunting's not playing well. It almost seems, almost has the feel that it's nitpicking because the Bucs are playing so well. Now, yeah. Could that change, obviously, if they're playing when they play the Saints? Sure. Yeah, he's not playing well, but darn if the team isn't playing well. So I hate to nitpick like that. That reminds me of there's a couple of guys in the Bucs media always used to gripe how Mike Evans didn't get yak. Only did everything else excellent. That's nitpicking. Give Evans not getting yak any day of the week, the way he racks up yards and touchdowns.
Steve, one guy I think we have to mention about his performance on Sunday is Devin White. I mean, you know, we get on White. Maybe, you know, he misses a tackle here and there, just like anybody. And he does. He gets lost in coverage sometimes, and he does. But, guys, his speed is kind of breathtaking at that position. I mean, he's a blur. And when you're a blur, you can make up sometimes for being a little bit out of position. Three sacks, all three of Buck's sacks were credited to Devin White. He's becoming a force on the blitz, guys. His run defense is outstanding. The hit on Carr was phenomenal. Steve, this guy's a player, and he's young, and there's no reason to think he's not going to get better. He wants to be great. He is a leader. I think this is going to be his defense in about 2 or 3 years. I do. And, Steve, the Bucs got themselves quite a player there.
Well, it was really fun to see him get the sacks. If I recall correctly, two of them were really sort of almost like what I would call run defense kind of sacks, where Derek Carr was scrambling and Devin White just overwhelmed him with his speed, and those are sacks. They're different kinds of sacks. But
right,
you know what?
Right.
But you know what? That gets in a quarterback's head as well. Like, hey, if I'm going to scramble, I don't know when this heat-seeking missile is going to come and wipe me out. And they all count. I was very proud of him, very exciting. And the speed, though, like you said, the speed really showed up in a way that I don't know if I've seen before, which says a lot.
How would you chart White's progress, Lee, from those early days when he was hampered by that knee injury? And I think it really hurt him for about half the season, his rookie year. He seems to be coming on strong, Lee.
Well, his run game has always been excellent. It's that simple. I was in the same boat as Steve was. He was sold as the fifth overall pick because he could blitz the quarterback. I finally saw that yesterday. Against the pass, he needs work. Renfro was spinning him around like a top yesterday. Renfro put a move on him, and Renfro is not exactly, well, dare I say, Antonio Brown. And, oh, my gosh, did he have Devin White twisted in the knots. How can I say this? I am all about the pass rush. There's no element of defense that can change a game like a pass rush. Pass rush is the ultimate equalizer. And I saw this today, Ira. This blew my mind. Absolutely blew my mind. Burt Jones, you remember him, right? Pretty decent quarterback with the Colts?
Yes.
Do you know, and he was, like I said, there was a playoff team. The Colts were not bad when he played for them. Now,
that's right.
I also remember, right, wasn't that Belichick's first job? He was a flunky with the Colts?
That could be right. Yeah, that could be right.
One game, Burt Jones, who was mobile, tough guy, went to LSU. He was mobile. He was somewhat of a running quarterback. And to this day, Belichick, if you mentioned Burt Jones to Belichick, he just waxed. Oh, my gosh, he was so good. Thinks he's way underrated. One game, Burt Jones was sacked 12 times.
Wow. Wow.
If that happened today, you would hear about that for months. People would freak out. 12 sacks in one game.
You know, on the flip side, Steve, the Buck O-line has been doing a great job with pass protection. Mm-hmm. You know, Steve, they had a few, you know, yips against Khalil Mack, and Khalil Mack's a heck of a player, and he's going to get his, you know, he's going to get his 12, 13 sacks. But since then, Steve, they've really buckled down. I don't know what the heck Joe Gilbert said to these guys, get your act together or whatever, and don't forget they got a rookie on the right side who's playing good football. Kappa's not doing anything wrong, and, you know, give those guys up front some credit, Steve.
I would counter that by saying they've been pass blocking wells for the last 2 years plus this year. I mean, you don't throw for 5,000 plus yards and not pass block well and rack up a bunch of yardage and points like they had been. It looks better this year, I think, in part because Brady isn't as much more predictable for them, and he's making better decisions. And getting
and
rid
gets
of
the ball out, gets the ball out quicker.
And gets
Steve.
The ball out, the ball but out. I don't think they're really doing anything different. You know, they're benefiting from a better quarterback. You know, I don't know if Wirfs is a better pass blocker than DeMar Dotson, but you know, they certainly are looking like a great offense, and being a little bit more balanced with the running game helps as well. Sage, I got to ask you just a little perspective. What you're seeing from Brady, he's basically on pace for, I think it's off the top of my head, 41 touchdowns. And 9 interceptions, which would probably be the greatest numbers or close to the greatest of his career. I mean, what is going on here, Ira? Is Brady this good? Is he just finally unleashed into an offense and a system and a bevy of weapons that fits him best? I mean, there seems to be no stopping this guy, and obviously he's more motivated than we can imagine. He's even willing to bring in a guy who may do something crazy.
His drive is beyond belief. Lee, he'll never say it. He'll never say it. Maybe he'll say it after the season. Maybe he'll say it when he writes his book, Lee. Huh. But he wants to show off Belichick. I mean, there's no two ways about it. He does. And in this great battle about who was more responsible for the Patriots dynasty, Belichick or Brady, Brady is clearly ahead right now. Clearly.
Wow.
You know, the Patriots were horrible on Sunday. They weren't competitive. Cam Newton, who had a very good game like in week 2, people were all excited. Well, now he doesn't look that good. Their offense stinks. And Brady is flourishing. Now, 2007 was the zenith for Brady, you know, personally. You know, he threw 50 touchdown passes or whatever, and they were 18-0 going into the Super Bowl against the Giants. And I'm not saying he's going to reach those numbers, but he's got better weapons now, Lee, than he's had for quite a while. And he sure knows how to use them. And believe me, Lee, you know this. There were some skeptical Buck fans who said, why do we want a 42-year-old quarterback? He's, by the time the season starts, he's 43. I mean, nobody's ever done this. Lee, you've mentioned that many times. There's no history of anybody ever doing this. This league's been around for 100 years. But here he is, Lee. He's shredding people. He's killing people. He's throwing darts. He's throwing beautiful balls when only his guy can catch it. And we're seeing, Lee, we're seeing on a weekly basis when we didn't have to see the Patriots every week during the regular season until the playoffs. We're seeing the greatness of a man who, you know, is anointed, generally speaking, as the greatest that ever did it. And, Lee, we're seeing why.
Well, you were mentioning a little earlier about Brady. It looks like he's 4 years younger the way he's playing. I've got an item I'll mention about that in a quick second. But with Brady, the way he's playing this year, especially with all these weapons, do you remember the old Michael Jordan joke? Who's the only guy that can hold Michael Jordan to 15 points a game?
Dean Smith.
Yeah, exactly. Dean Smith. And you almost wonder now if Belichick was actually holding Brady back, the way a 43-year-old man like Brady is tearing up the league with a pass-happy coach and weapons. It almost makes you wonder if that same joke might apply, even though Brady was a Hall of Famer, you know?
You almost wonder. I remember something that Steve said during the summer, and he's right. Steve was right. He said he's not coming here to hand the ball off, and the Patriots didn't have many weapons. I mean, really, when you go back, I mean, Edelman's good, but I've made
Troy
this
Brown,
point. Steve, Chris Hogan, I said it on the show, you're never going to hear about these guys once they leave the Patriots. You're just not going to hear about them. And Drew Brees did the same thing with the Saints for many years. You're never going to hear about these guys when they leave. He's playing at a phenomenal level.
You were talking about Brady looks like he's younger than the way the numbers he's putting up and everything. Next Gen Stats, they have a stat called, basically it's yards thrown. That's not the one I'm looking for. Air yards, that's what it is, air yards.
Right.
The pass, I think it was 33 yards, that to Scotty Miller for a touchdown, that was his longest pass. And we're talking about where his hand is when he releases the ball to when the receiver catches it. That includes the arc of the ball and everything. That was his longest pass since opening week of the 2017 season.
That's hard to believe. Wow. It's not like he's a nickel and dimer, Steve. I wouldn't call him a nickel and dimer.
Well, Ira, I just wanted to note in the summer when I said he wasn't coming here to hand off, you repeatedly told me that they don't want him thrown more than 25 times a game, damn it. Anyway.
Well, once in a while, Steve, once in a while you get one right on the nose.
Now, we have some fun, Ira. We have to have our fun. And hey, Big Storm Brewing Company in Clearwater, that is where you watch football with the Sage. Every game, that's where the Sage is when the Bucks are on the road. And Ira, I got to say, we had a nice crowd out there yesterday. Open air, nice, good energy. And Lee, you're not going to believe this, Lee. Are you ready for this?
I'm waiting.
Ira was leaving a little bit early to get home and watch the rest of the game at home. Of course, he had just finished his fantastic. He had like three different things to eat, so I don't even know what he was eating. But he was getting ready to go early so he could finish watching at home and get ready to write his column. Ira was there a couple hours before the game, finishing talking to a group of gentlemen. I saw Ira. I said, hey, you know, this guy, I just heard him at the bar. He was pointing at you and saying, that's Ira Kaufman. He's like the greatest sports writer in Tampa history, blah, 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 blah. And this guy's sitting there holding court, telling people how great Ira is. And I said, Ira, you got to go say hello to the guy. It would make his day. And Ira's like, I got to get to work. I got work to do. I got deadlines. Next time.
You know, Lee, I'm like Brady when it comes to that. I'm all about the work, Lee. I don't want any fanfare. I'm not taking a final lap around the track, the Kemper. Besides, Lee, most of the time when a guy is standing there and he's pointing to me, I owe him money. So I immediately got a little wary over there, Lee.
He's pointing. He's not pointing with a finger either. He's pointing with a rod. I got to be honest with you. I'm tired of getting teased. You're always talking about ordering ribs. You get on Twitter. You get on this podcast. I can't wait to get the ribs. I can't wait to get the ribs. You get over to Big Storm. You're getting tacos. You're getting this. You're getting that. Why are you letting people down? They want to hear your review of the ribs. Get
well,
the ribs.
A week ago, I got the barbecue platter. I got the barbecue platter, pulled pork, ribs, wings, and it was fantastic. They fall right off the bone, just like the Buck offense, right off the bone. and yesterday I had 10 wings. I had the dry rub with the blue cheese and the celery. Got a side salad, washed it down with a little Kolsch. Lee, you were questioning me about that Kolsch, but you found out it's legit. Now, I was sitting with a Buck fan. He's there every week at Big Storm. Big Buck fan. It works for Raymond James, so I hope he's listening to this podcast. And he had a fellow employee, a contemporary, came by, first time to Big Storm. So he worked her through the menu, walked her through, and asked, you know, suggested a beer. And he said to me, have you had the Cuban? I said, have I had the Cuban? Of course I've had the Cuban. He said, how is it? Should she order it? I said, absolutely. So she did. 15 minutes later, nice Cuban sandwich placed in front of her. Huge scoop of coleslaw. Huge. And I looked up about 90 seconds later, and most of the Cuban was gone. I mean, I never seen anything like it. She inhaled that thing, Isbits, and she will be back. So Big Storm got themselves another steady customer. We'll see what happens Monday night for the Giants game. I'll be there. Steve Clearwater location, 49th Street, little south of Ulmerton. I don't know what I'm going to hit up on that menu, Steve, but whatever it is, it's going
to
be yummy.
The menu line reminds me of when Rodney Dangerfield went back to school and he's doing his commercials for his big and tall stores. And Rodney Dangerfield says, are you fat? Do you look at the menu and say okay?
So Steve, I'm looking forward to being back at Big Storm on Monday night.
Well, of course, Big Storm is all about the beer. Florida's best craft beer is Big Storm beer, and you can find Big Storm beer near you at BigStormBrewery.com, where you can purchase it at fine stores, in addition to their tap rooms in Odessa and in Clearwater, which is where Ira is, the flagship location on 49th Street. 3,000 square foot, totally outdoor area covered. I mean, open air, but just covered and just fantastic. All the little extras now are there, the lights and the fire pit, and total, so cool. All right, Ira, fans have been waiting, so we're going to talk about Antonio Brown. We're going to go around the horn here, but we want to remind everybody first that Bill Curry Ford presents this podcast, presents all of Ira's work. General Manager Sean Sullivan is ready to help Bucks fans in any way he can. That's the Bill Curry Ford way, family-owned for 60 years in Tampa. Sean's email is at BillCurryFord.com, and that is where you can find all the great deals that are coming to an end in October, but also all the transparent pricing, new and used vehicles. They have their nationwide lifetime warranty, BillCurryFord.com. Ira, Antonio Brown is here. What does it mean? How did this happen? The Bucks have all kinds of depth at weapons. They're scoring points, lights out, more than 30 points a game, yet here he is.
Lee, there's so many layers to this story. First, it was a classic Friday night news dump, Lee. Classic. And who does that? Well, the NFL does it sometimes. Newspapers do it sometimes if they're going to lay people off. It's almost always bad news. Now, in this case, the Bucks are proud of this accomplishment. Why is he here, Lee? Why is he here? He's here because Tom Brady wants him. I mean, I don't know any other way to put it. And with all due respect to Bruce Arians, who's a heck of a quote, it doesn't mean we always got to believe him. This is not the first time he's tried to get Tom Brady out of the line of fire. And line of fire, I mean, a lot of Buck fans are not happy with this decision. I don't know if it's a majority, but it's a significant voting block, Lee. They're not happy with it. I think so. As good as he is, and, you know, he's arguable a Hall of Famer by the time he ends his career, he's trouble. or he has been troubled. Now, why is he here? All right. Bruce Arians says Tom Brady had nothing to do with it. Well, he also said that Tom Brady knew that it was fourth down in Chicago. Lee, we can't always believe the beloved head coach. Now, sometimes you take him at his word. He kept saying Ronald Jones is the guy. Ronald Jones is the guy. Well, guess what? Fournette showed up, and Ronald Jones was the guy. Now, after dropping that ball yesterday, we shall see if he's still the guy, Lee, but he has been. He said he wanted Tom Brady behind door number two. He wasn't lying. That was honest. But he's here for Tom Brady. Lee, for the life of me, somebody better explain this to me before I go off the edge. I don't see how playing one game with Antonio Brown makes him a lifetime friend. This deep, deep bond. You can't break it between Brady and Brown. I don't really understand it, Lee. I mean, he certainly respects Brown's portfolio as an NFL receiver, but they played one game, Lee, one. And it was against the Dolphins, and they're going to beat the Dolphins with Brown or without Brown. So I don't think he made any difference that day. But, Lee, as Steve suggests, and maybe you could shed a little light on this, the timing, the Bucs scored 83 points, Lee, in 2 weeks. Brady's going crazy. He's finding all kinds of receivers. Gronkowski is emerging as a big-time weapon. Godwin is fantastic. So, Lee, what's behind the door on this situation?
You know, I have to say somehow, some way, one way or another, it's about money. It's always about money. You know, when I read about this radio host down in Miami, and right away, you know, radio host is reporting, I automatically think of Dan Cilio. I mean, radio hosts aren't always, right. You know, it's dubious. But then I did research on this radio host. Apparently, he has broken his fair share of story, whether it's with Dolphins, Marlins, you name it. And Brown is from Miami. So he must have some kind of connection. I don't know if Brady's investing in Brown in somehow. The Tony Robbins angle is really intriguing to me. It's like, okay, I don't exactly buy that Tony Robbins, out of the goodness of his heart, came down to Miami to counsel Antonio Brown to get his head screwed on straight. And okay, maybe Brady will drop in an infomercial, help pay. Someone's paying for that. I don't know who, I don't know what. I doubt it's Antonio Brown. But I do know who has a boatload of money. And he's also a quarterback of the Bucks. And his wife's got even more money. There's something going on here behind the scenes. Sponsorship, money, investments. I don't know. Maybe Robbins wants to get his foot in the door in the NFL, and this is a way where he could count. I mean, I already know he's involved with the NBA. I already know he's involved with Major League Soccer. And this guy doesn't impress me as someone that works for free. He just doesn't. So maybe this is his way of trying to get his foot in the door in the NFL. There's something going on a whole lot bigger than the Bucks might need Antonio Brown because Mike Evans has a hobbled ankle. I think there's a lot more involved.
Steve, is this a clear indication to you that the Bucks are seriously worried about the health of Mike Evans, Steve?
Ira, I don't know what the hell this thing is. I mean, they don't need him. Now, and on top of this, they really don't know what shape he's in. All the NFL protocols and stuff. I don't think they brought him in here for a workout. I don't think before he went through COVID protocol that he sat in a room with Bruce Arians for 3 hours and hashed out all their differences. I have a hard time believing that they sent a mental health specialist to examine the guy to see if he's off the deep end. I mean, he just pled guilty to felonies early this year, pled no contest. I don't get it because the locker room is so precious to Bruce Arians. He believes in this locker room. They've worked very hard to put it together the way they want it to. Brady's in charge. And I think it just speaks to Brady's complete obsession with winning a Super Bowl outside of the Belichick system. And yes. Ira, I think he saw Antonio Brown, and just like Chucky fell in love with Antonio Brown going to watch practices as an announcer. Chucky spoke about how he never saw anybody practice like Antonio Brown and never saw anybody just work on his craft like that and loved his anger and his edge. And I think Brady just pushed and pushed and pushed and got what he wanted. But the injuries, we're supposed to believe that a guy who's 80%, 90%, Bucks are worried. Guys play 80-90% an entire season, Ira.
The difference with the Raiders and the Bucks, Lee, is the Bucks have the best wide receiver tandem in football, in all of football. They've got the best when healthy. And here's my point. If Evans is healthy enough to play, and Godwin ain't going anywhere, and he's playing at a fantastic peak right now, and Gronkowski's emerging, Lee, let's not kid ourselves. Antonio Brown is not a depth piece. Antonio Brown wants to be the difference maker. He demands to be it. He wants the football, and if he don't get it, he's going to pout. Who said so, Lee? Bruce Arians. He made no bones about it, called him a diva, maybe a super diva. So, Lee, my point is, unless Evans or Godwin or both of them go out, and by the way, Scotty Miller's not doing too shabby either right now, Lee, and if they're all playing, where's the footballs for Brown? And if there's no balls for Brown, there's a lot of whining by Brown. And I don't want to hear this nonsense about the leadership in this locker room with Brady and Levante David and Ndamukong Suh.
Baloney.
Once Brown gets down in the dumps, Lee, and frustrated, he could wreck any locker room.
I wouldn't say I got into it, but some guy, and after I say this, this person's going to say, you called me out. Well, the person I'm referring to, I have no freaking idea what his name is. So I don't know how you can call someone out if you don't know who he is. We only need to go back to 2017. The Bucs were coming off a winning season. Things were looking up. You know, they had this leader among leaders as a quarterback. Everything was kosher. Then you introduce two assholes in the locker room. The place imploded. The place imploded. And I dare say what Swaggy Baker has done and what DeSean Jackson has done and what they are completely and totally pales in comparison to this nutcase Brown. Is this nutcase Brown talented? Absolutely. Why was he unemployed? Why could he not stick with three teams coached by three Super Bowl winners in less than a year? If Brady, like, you know, and Ira, you know, you've heard it, you've read it. Oh, Brady will take care of him. Brady didn't take care of him. He's 0 for 1 with the asshole. Hello? Come on, people. Hello?
Nicely said, Lee. Nicely said. So, you know, maybe.
Where's this old Brady will take care of him? Brady didn't take care of him.
And maybe we don't have to say any more than the way that Steve set the whole thing up. They don't need him. It's not like since the Bears game, they're in some kind of an offensive lull, and they're still thinking about the loss in the Windy City. No, they destroyed a good Green Bay team. They mopped up a decent Raiders team, and Brady's killing people. He's shredding them. So, Steve, from a timing standpoint, it's very weird. It looks like a case of Brady flexing his muscles. And it's one thing, Steve, to bring in Gronkowski, who's never been an attitude problem.
No.
And by the way, is playing damn good football right now and making some beautiful catches. Or bringing in what Lee said is a nut job, and I don't think that's an exaggeration. You know,
Go look at the timeline on JoeBucksFan.com. I pulled it together using three different sources just in the past 2 years. Well, look at the timeline. I've never seen anything like it from any athlete. I've never seen anything like it. Every couple weeks there was something with this guy. I mean, he tried to punch Mike Mayock, allegedly, called him a cracker, freezes his feet. Oh, I can't practice. Next day he's on a freaking hot air balloon ride. I mean, this is like something out of Ballers, man.
That's like Ira in Pasco County for a week.
Hey, Steve.
Wait, Ira, this is important. This is important, Ira. The argument from Bucks fans who like the move is, and my response initially was, what's the big deal? If he screws up, you cut him. And you send a message that we don't tolerate anything, right, and he's on a short leash, and what's the big deal? Now, obviously, he's a great player, and if he wants to play and be a good guy for 10 weeks, great. But here's the thing. That sounds nice. except once he's there 4 or 5 weeks and he's in the mix and he's behaving, and then Mike Evans rolls an ankle and he's out for 3 weeks, and Antonio Brown's the number one receiver out there with Godwin, and then he puts up a stink because he doesn't like who knows what, then you're already in deep, and it's week 15, and you need to win a game, and the locker room's looking like, what's going on? And things get messy. It's not that simple. And I just don't understand why, well, you've got the number one defense when they made this move. You got the number one ranked defense. Your offense is clicking. You got all the leadership you could want. You believe you have phenomenal coaches, and you got depth at receiver. Scotty Miller is proving to really be legit. I mean, I don't think anybody would say he's not legit. It's a mind-boggling move considering how bad it could go.
And, Steve, may I add one more, and Lee, tell me if you've thought about this, one more subtle wrinkle to this whole saga. Guess who had to sign off on Mr. Antonio Brown? That's right, ownership. That's right. And I'm not saying they go to Joel and Ed Glazer when they're signing McClendon. No. But when you're signing somebody of this magnitude and this controversial, a figure, you must get the blessing of the Glazers. And they were well aware, guys, of Arian's remarks in March, which were unequivocal. He didn't say, well, we'll see. You know, maybe he'll grow on me. We'll see about Brown. He's a heck of a player. No. Arians didn't say that in March because he knew they weren't going to take him in March. And all of a sudden, Arians has had this great change of heart. Why? So what I'm saying is Brady says yes. Arians says eh. Light says eh. And the Glazers say, do it. Brady wants him. That's the way I look at it, gentlemen.
I'm sort of in the same boat with you, Ira. I'm thinking, I don't know this, this is just speculation. After Arians told Brady, who knows how many times, no, Tom. Well, wait a minute here. You know, Brady's sitting in his office at home. Giselle's got the kids in bed. Oh, wait a minute. I've got Brian Glazer's cell phone number. Maybe I'll text him, see if he wants Antonio Brown.
I don't know if he took it that far, Lee. I hope he didn't go over management and coaches' heads. I can't say that he did, and I won't charge him with that. But, Steve, ultimately, the Glazers had to make a call here.
Well, of course, Ira, look, I don't know, not sure why they would be so excited to bring in Brown here. I mean, one thing to put out there, from what I've read, his civil trial for rape is in December. That's not a good time for your football team. And you're basically inviting his accuser to try to manipulate the public or manipulate the media and put stuff out there to try to force him into a big settlement when things are at a peak for the organization. It's just messy as hell. I mean, did we really need this? It would be very nice if he catches some touchdown passes and the Bucs win a Super Bowl. That would be amazing, but it's very odd, Ira, and it's not like you couldn't have signed other players to help, right? He's not the only person out there that could have improved your organization. You just somehow made a decision to sign a guy who is at a position where you're extremely deep and your offense is humming. Sage, we've made this point before. The Buccaneers averaged without Tom Brady, without Rob Gronkowski, and with throwing a million turnovers, they averaged 28 plus points last year. Right now they're at 31. I mean, yeah. What more do you want? There's a limit here, and it's just, I don't know why they'd want to mess with the chemistry so much, but it's comical though. Ari, do you see the comedy in all of this?
You know, to describe Antonio Brown, Lee, as a depth piece, I mean, that's absurd on the face of it. A depth piece, you know, you want a depth piece, you take the third guy off the Philadelphia Eagles. You don't take a guy who might end up in the Hall of Fame who can't wait to get in there and resurrect his career by gobbling up every pass and whispering in Brady's ear every day, give me the football. I mean, that's not a depth piece, Lee. So barring, Mike Evans being a lot more seriously hurt, Lee, than we're led to believe. And by the way, I think it's obvious he's far from 100%, Evans. I mean, his 1,000-yard streak is in real jeopardy. He's having a weird season. He catches touchdowns, but he doesn't catch a lot of footballs. real weird season for Mike Evans. And, you know, give him credit for playing hurt, Lee. Lee, the only thing I can think of is you bring Brown in and you let Evans sit for a couple of weeks and get healthy and see if Brown can do anything in that two-week interim. Godwin ain't going anywhere. And then maybe, you know, there's a small window, Lee, small window for Brown to make an impact. But I'm telling you this right now. If Evans and Godwin are healthy, I got no room at the end for Mr. Brown.
I'm like you guys in the sense, so I'm just worried about chemistry. I saw what happened 2 years, 3 years ago. Saw it with my own eyes.
I thought you weren't that big on chemistry, Lee. Am I wrong?
I think so, yeah. I saw and heard, you know, a lot of things still to this day I can't say. But, by the way, comparing Antonio Brown to Swaggy Baker, he's Derrick Brooks compared to Antonio Brown. I mean, Swaggy Baker and DeSean Jackson destroyed that locker. Destroyed.
Steve, what a terrible way for DeSean Jackson to go out. I mean, this guy's done nothing for like 4 years. I mean, this is awful.
He hasn't done nothing.
Well, I mean, in a positive sense, the guy's okay. Hurt. Guy's hurt every other week. He doesn't show up.
Answer me this, Ira. We've heard over and over and over again from Tom Brady about how he needs more time to build chemistry with his receivers and that he needs time to work with these guys, and they're behind the eight ball and they're just doing the best they can. And in comes Antonio Brown. He has, like you said, he hasn't played very much with Brown. Brown hasn't been in this system very much. They haven't been throwing passes that I know of, that we've heard of even remotely. I don't think he was at Berkeley Prep this summer. So what are we going to build chemistry in big games in around Thanksgiving? It just doesn't smell right. And there are other position groups where you could have gone after some depth. I got to ask you this, Ira.
Defensive end? Pass rusher?
Yeah, I got to ask you this, Ira. Now, Bruce Arians said he went to every single player. I believe he told this to Peter King. He went to every single player in the locker room and said, "Are you good with us bringing in Antonio Brown?" And he said they all said yes. Now, first of all, we're not born yesterday. Most guys aren't going to tell the head coach, "Fuck no, man, we don't bring that guy in here." It's not going to happen like that. They're going to say, "Do what you want, coach. You're the coach, man. You know, whatever. If he wants to win, great." So, I mean, it's just silly talk. But Ira, he said that we owed it to the team to bring in a talented guy that could help us in a position where we might need some help. So I ask you, Ira, where does that end? Are the Buccaneers going to go out and get a freaking backup quarterback that might be able to win a Super Bowl? Or are we going to sit with Blaine Gabbert the rest of the way? Are they going to be that aggressive too? Or is this just all semantics to make it look good for Brown?
I got a very simple answer. DWBW. You ready for that, DeKemper?
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Depends what Brady wants. Depends what Brady wants. Arians was backed into a corner this past week, Lee. I mean, what's the guy going to say?
I'll tell you what he's going to say.
His remarks in March are part of the public discourse. He can't disavow the remarks. He said them. He could have ticked the 5th in March. He didn't do it, Lee. He was unequivocal. So now the Bucks make the move, and he talks about talking to everybody in the locker room. Steve's point is right, Lee. Everybody in the locker room knew that Brady wants this guy. So what are they going to say? Even if he even went to all these guys, what are they going to tell? What are they going to say to Bruce Arians? Well, I got reservations about Antonio Brown. Knowing that Brady really wants him, Lee, that don't pass the eye test.
Yeah, you know, is the guy in shape? I don't know. Like Steve said, he's got to learn the playbook. The people who are all behind this are the fantasy football people. Because in fantasy football, the only thing that matters is numbers. Personality, history, blood, pulse, mentality. None of that matters to fantasy football people. Just numbers.
Let's be fair here. What is the upside? What is the potential upside? Could Brown make some big plays in December and January, lead him to help him to the postseason, make plays in the postseason? Is that far-fetched, Stephen?
Well, the potential upside is what we all know it to be. I mean, it's straightforward. The guy was Super the best Bowl. Receiver in football, and if they need him, maybe he can recapture that. You know, he's got playoff experience, and that's it. So, I mean, the upside is there. And look, Bill Belichick, and maybe a lot of people like to compare everything to what the Belichicks do, and I think that's a terrible mistake. But, yes. I mean, Tom Brady understands that kind of culture, but I don't know if this locker room and the Arians regime gets it in the same way. I mean, Belichick brought in Kellen Winslow. Belichick brought in Albert Haynesworth. Belichick brought in all kinds of players, including Brown and others.
Randy Moss.
I mean, look, I'm not, you know, comparing them all, putting them all on the same plane of issues by any means, but he made a long habit of this and he sort of knew how to do it. Josh Gordon, all down the line. And I don't know if the Bucks have enough experience to handle this properly. I'm sure Tom Brady does, but Tom Brady, you know, isn't the head coach, and or maybe he's just the GM. I don't know, Ira, but it's fascinating. I think we're all coming from a place of we want the Bucks to win. And this feels like maybe the only thing that could derail them. And so, and it's self-induced, so it's scary.
As far as I'm concerned, Lee, this one's on Brady. If things work out well, give him his props. If things screw up with Brown, it's on Brady. It ain't on Arians, and it's not on Jason Light. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just the opposite. Are there no checks and balances at One Buck Palace?
Well, what if the Glazers say, let's do it? What if they say, let's do it?
No, that's a different animal because they have no say then. If Arians could have put his foot down and said no, then that's checks and balance. Jason Light could have put his foot down and said no. That would be a checks and balance. If the Glazers are saying to do it, they have no choice. They're the ones that pay the freight. They're the ones that run everything. No, it is not in the vocabulary of anybody at One Buck Palace that the Glazers say it. But if you believe that Arians had a say, and or Light had a say, then they got to share some of the flack if it blows up. But if you're what you're saying is, Ira, you're saying this is coming from the Glazers, then no, you can't pin it on Arians. No, you can't pin it on Light.
And the one thing we can all agree on, he's on a very short leash, Steve. Very, very short. I think the first sign of friction, I don't care what Brady says, he's out of here.
If you believe the Glazers said bring him in, I don't believe then he's on a short leash. It would have to come once again from the Glazers.
They didn't instigate the move. I'm not saying that. They had to sign off on it.
Well, what I don't buy is, and I already talked about Brady, and you mentioned, Ira, someone said, oh, Lavonte David came. Really? I mean, I love Lavonte David. Nobody's been pimping him for a Pro Bowl for a couple of years more than I have. But where was he when Swaggy Baker took over the locker room? Where was he when DeSean Jackson was running amok like an imbecile? Where, you know, come on.
You know, I think maybe the only guy with the kind of clout and drive to maybe speak up to Brown, if he does start to become a problem, it might be JPP. And he might be the one to do it. He wants to win bad, and
I don't buy it. Stop. I hate this stuff. Drives me insane, Ira. Did he speak up to Brent Grimes when Brent Grimes said, they don't pay me enough to cover Antonio Brown, and that was in, like, game three of the season that fell apart? Where was JPP with those clowns? Come on. Stop it.
This is a team. This is a Super Bowl ambition team. That one was not.
When they were
we'll see what happens.
When they were 2-0,
the Bucks have no history of anybody on their roster, with the exception of Brady, that's going to tell some guy to knock off the shenanigans.
Exactly. Ira, when they were 2-0 and they were facing the Steelers on Monday Night Football, everybody thought they had serious aspirations there. And nobody talked to Brent Grimes to get him right.
You're talking the Ryan Fitzpatrick year? I mean, that's a stretch.
Well, they were 2-0. They were 2-0.
Yeah, they were 2-0.
Monday Night Football against the Steelers, and then it comes out later that Brent Grimes was bitching because he didn't want to cover Antonio Brown because he didn't make enough money. and it dragged everybody down. I mean, it's just a goofy scene. Hopefully it works, Ira. We all
hope it works out. I mean, let's get that straight.
I'm sure not going to bet $5 that it does. Again, Gruden, Super Bowl winner, got rid of him. Mike Tomlin, Super Bowl winner, get out of town. Belichick, out. All of a sudden, he's an angel? Come on. Unless he went to some kind of mental rehab joint. And, I mean, I really believe the guy's unbalanced. There's something seriously wrong with the guy to have that many incidents in such a short period of time. And my favorite, by the way, was when he found a fist head in his freezer. He watched The Godfather one too many times. He thought that was an indication of a mob hit.
Oh, boy. You know.
See that, Ira?
Lee, I'm not sure.
I'm not making that up.
You couldn't make that up.
He hired a chef, and this guy sued Antonio Brown for 38 large. And he said part of the reason why Antonio Brown wouldn't pay his balance was Antonio Brown found a fish head in his freezer, and he immediately thought that was a sign of an impending mob hit on him. I'm not making this up.
Does he have a cousin named Luca Brasi? I mean, come on.
That's a good one. That's a good one. That's a good one.
Steve had the best line of the whole conversation, Steve. I'll give you props. You said it right away. They don't need him. And I don't think we have to add much more than that.
Funny, I had a Bucks fan say to me, what, did you want the Saints to get him? And I said, yeah, sure.
Exactly. Let them implode.
Go implode the Saints. Yeah, go implode the Saints over there. Absolutely.
They're close to imploding as it is. Apparently
they are. I didn't realize Thomas was going to go off the deep end like this, and they were lucky to beat Carolina. They're not looking very good. And the Bucks can't wait to get them in that rematch. Now they got to take care of business at the Meadowlands, but boy, the Bucks are going to be psyched beyond belief for that Saints rematch. Guys, there's one thing we haven't mentioned about the Brown situation. Couldn't he face more punishment from the NFL?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So
yes.
This could be a total non-story, Lee.
Yes.
Yeah, Ira, you know, Bruce Arians, he just tells us that he's got to do everything possible to make this team better. Are they going to try to trade for Jameis Winston? I think he's a better backup than Blaine Gabbert.
That ship has sailed, Mr. Isbitt.
What about Fitzpatrick? Fitzpatrick's is probably on the market. He's better than Gabbert. I mean, we got to do what's best for the organization, Ira. All right, Sage, that's enough about Antonio Brown. I'm going to hit you with a couple of things back out on this game, and we're going to get out of here and be excited for our next podcast. Sage, in this football game, we saw the continued success of Ryan Succop. We saw the continued success of the suffocating run defense, something that you wrote about. Steve McClendon walks in off the street. Nobody even talks about Vita Vea anymore. Who's that guy? And we also saw Tyler Johnson step up again and catch a touchdown, an emerging young receiver. It's coming from all angles, Ira.
You know, we all like Tyler Johnson coming out of college, a polished route runner. You know, may not be a blazer, but you don't have to be. You don't have to be a blazer to be a very effective pass receiver in this league. You got to be deceptive, and you got to have good hands. And I think he's got it. And he's being brought along very nicely. Scotty Miller, Steve, you mentioned contributing. The one guy that I'm still, you know, maybe this might be selfish because I made that prediction, but I still think they can get a little bit more out of Cameron Brate, a little bit more out of Cameron Brate. But Gronkowski's looking, you know, almost like his all-pro self. They got it going on all cylinders, guys. That's just the way it is right now. I think the Giants are going to realize that. And two more night games coming up. Lee, you can't wait for the Saints to come marching in. I think they're going to be summarily dismissed. But we'll get to that when it comes. Right now, enjoy 5-2, guys. We haven't seen it around these parts in quite a while.
All right, Sage, we'll let you out of here. We'll let you go take your Geritol and your... No, I'm just kidding you, Ira. We love you. Keep doing what you're doing. We will be back with another podcast. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Play. Leave a review. Don't leave a review. Do whatever you want. We just want you to love the Bucks as much as we do, and hopefully we'll be looking at 6-2, 7-2, 8-2, and Ira, if they take this all the way to a Super Bowl, Ira, you know what? We have to enjoy every moment now, because if they do win a Super Bowl, maybe Brady and Arians just walk out the door and say, thanks for playing, guys, and that's it.
Wouldn't that be something? And if they make the Super Bowl, I'm going to make a special request to the National Football League and their publicity department, which has about 82 people in it. The press box, which normally holds a couple of hundred, is probably going to be limited to about 60 for Super Bowl at Ray J. And if the Bucks are in it, I'm going to make a special appeal. And Izbits, I expect you to follow it up with a strong letter of recommendation. I must be allowed into the main press box, Stephen. I'm going to cash in all my chips. I don't even know if I have any chips. But any relationships I have with some of these people, I've been covering football for more than 40 years, been to many a Super Bowl, and they got to accommodate me in the main press box, and if that means knocking out a couple of the local writers, I won't mind that at all, Lee. And I'm not going there for the food spread. I'm going there to rub elbows with the Michael Wilbons of the world and the Kornheisers and the Peter Kings, and here we go. And you know what? It might be the day after John Lynch gets sent into the Hall of Fame. Wouldn't that be fantastic, gentlemen? Wouldn't it?
Sure, I have much more modest goals of the Bucks winning the Super Bowl. Just bury me behind Big Storm. I don't think I'll survive that night.
And Steve, you won't even make the auxiliary press box. They might have a spot for you on the roof. Ira, you might be up on the roof, Izbits.
Ira, you don't have to cash in any chips. You just call our friend Aaron Andrews and say, look, save me a seat, baby. That's all.
Will do, my partner.